Mountain Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, great action on tap in week number 8. We'll take a look back at week number 7 and also take a look at the updated odds entering the weekend. Alabama still the team to beat right now entering week number 8. They sit at a plus 160 price, followed by a red-hot Texas A&M team at plus 480, Georgia at 5-1, Ole Miss at plus 750, and the Texas Longhorns, Coach, sit there at 8-1, fresh off their victory over the Oklahoma Sooners.
It's amazing how, after the first week of football, who'd have thought Alabama would be right back on the top? After a couple losses, Texas would have a chance to be back where they are. And we've all kind of watched Texas A&M and Ole Miss kind of jump right in the hunt. And, that Texas A&M's kind of become my dark horse because they can beat you offensively and they can beat you defensively. But kind of, I think Alabama's done a great job of getting better every week, and they found a quarterback. They found a quarterback that's a winner, and they've gotten better every week because they played some pretty good people.
Absolutely. You talk about Ty Simpson, the offense potentially started slow. They got it going again in the late second quarter into the third quarter, built a lead and held on. Missouri did have the football with about a minute left to potentially tie that game or win it. Couldn't pull it out. The interception by Bo Perbula right across midfield allowed Alabama to seal the deal. But we'll take a look at the Heisman odds entering week number 8. Ty Simpson, Coach, now has strung together 3 straight dynamic performances. We talk about the victory over Georgia 2 weeks ago. He follows that up with a home victory over Vanderbilt and then the victory this past Saturday on the road in Columbia. He's really coming into his own, and not only a Heisman frontrunner, but potentially down the road an NFL draft pick.
Yeah, he really looks to be an NFL type of quarterback. He's just smart. You know, he's a son of a football coach, so he's got a great football IQ. He's got poise in the pocket. He's a smart runner, if not an electric runner. And that's some of the ingredients that you see some of the great NFL quarterbacks. But the thing about it is he's on the right team. And look at his odds coming up with Carson Beck, how close they are now in their odds to win that Heisman. And the question is going to be which one of those two quarterbacks can take their team to the conference championship, and what if both of them do because they're in different conferences. So that should be interesting. I think they are clearly the top two teams. Mendoza just moved himself up to be in that hunt too. I think it's those three and everybody else right now.
It is, and I think when you look at the performance by Ty Simpson, it wasn't a 350-yard performance, but he completes 23 of 30 passes, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, made proper decisions to put his team in a position to score points and win that ball game on the road. We'll take a look at the deeper stats in this matchup. We talked about just the ability for Alabama to sustain drives, score when it mattered in the red zone, and more importantly, win the turnover battle, Coach. I mean, their third down efficiency was only 6 of 15, but you hold Missouri to only 1 of 10, and more importantly, contain Ahmad Hardy for the most part. You're most likely going to win on the road in Missouri.
Yeah, 52 yards for Ahmad Hardy, who is the leading rusher in the country. But also look at the time of possession. Alabama had the ball for 38 and a half minutes. Missouri 21 and a half. That means that offense is not scoring points. When Missouri's offense is on the bench, Alabama's not just controlling the ball, they're controlling the clock. They're not giving Missouri's offense a chance to score points. Both quarterbacks threw touchdown passes in the last 3.5 minutes. Both do an outstanding job. But Alabama controlled the ball more often, kept Missouri off the field enough to win that game at the end.
They did, and now they get the tall order of the third Saturday in October, which is Tennessee. Coach and I will break that game down later in the week. It's a tough matchup. Already Alabama opens as a 9.5 point home favorite over the Volunteers and Joey Aguilar that were pushed to the limit this past Saturday by a red-hot offense in Talon Green in Arkansas. They won it by 3 points. Another matchup that took place late night in Death Valley, 7:45 kick. LSU was a 9.5 point favorite against South Carolina. They covered, but it wasn't easy. They win this matchup, Coach, 20-10. The defense stepped up yet again. Turnovers killed LSU, especially in the red zone. How does Brian Kelly and LSU step up and clean that up entering this matchup against Vanderbilt this week?
You know, Cup, turnovers, you are very careful. You have to be very careful. You don't want to over-discuss it and make it so big that's all you think about. You know, there's that thought that the more the players think about it, the more it's going to happen. But you just make sure they understand, are we protecting the ball? Are we covering it up when we run? Are we making good decisions throwing the football? And I think all those things are important. I think the thing that I liked about LSU, it was their best day running the football. I think they rushed, had a good 166 yards rushing in this football game, and that was huge for LSU to do. And because of that, even though they turned the ball, they could have won this game easier. They turned it over twice going in the red zone and could have really won this game walking away. But to get a good victory like they did over South Carolina, 20-10, I think right now that's a good victory for them to have.
It was, and Lenora Sellers' mediocre performance, only 124 passing yards, no touchdowns, one interception. You mentioned how they turned the football over in the red zone. Nussmeier with two critical interceptions, but he did throw for two touchdowns, also threw for 254 passing yards. He looked a little bit more healthier. He looked more confident in the offensive scheme, and that potentially should benefit this team moving forward. But I think when you just look at defenses in the conference, Coach, the one takeaway from Blake Baker and LSU is that they're physical. If their offense doesn't bring it, this defense potentially is good enough to carry this team maybe to an SEC championship.
Well, that's what they've got to count on, because their defense has been there consistently all year. And if their just offense can pick it up, don't turn the ball over, you know, and they ran the football. They have not run like this all season. And that's been the key to these teams that play great defense. If they'll just run the football and not make the Nussmeiers or the Sellers make them throw every time or throw under bad situations, give them protection. You know, Sellers, he was sacked 5 times. He could do nothing. I think he had like 19 yards of offense after all the sack yardage was taken away. But I think Nussmeier was able to play a clean game, had a couple turnovers in the red zone. But when you run the football and play defense, LSU is right in the thick of things when it comes on chances to see who's going to play for the conference championship.
Absolutely, Coach. I also think, too, it was important Caden Dorm did come back. You mentioned how dominant the LSU rushing attack was entering that matchup against South Carolina that had one of the better rush defenses in the conference. LSU was able to pound the rock for 168 yards on the ground, 6 yards per carry, and that mattered and allowed Nussmeier to be in manageable third downs and allow that offense to sustain drives and pull it out. I think when you look at this team overall, just from what you see, I mean, can they be that dark horse where if they do get the offense more consistent, Aaron Anderson does come back, hopefully, to that lineup, that and Nussmeier, let's say, is healthy, did get battered on Saturday night. Do they have good enough odds for you to potentially steal it and be a team that can gain momentum down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, there's probably 5 teams that are in that category, but LSU is definitely one of them because, one, they've got a great defense. They've got a veteran quarterback. If they will continue to make sure that running a game is important every week and they can run the football, that's all the ingredients you have to have. Don't turn the ball over. Don't give up the big play. And then don't do those things. Great defense, run the football, and don't give up the big play. You got a chance to win every single ball game because they're that talented.
When Coach and I return, we'll take a look at Week 7's matchups. Georgia, Auburn, Florida, A&M. Coming right back on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 7 in the conference. Great games from start to finish. None more controversial than on the Plains at 7 o'clock in Auburn. Coach Bowden was on the sidelines to watch Auburn and Georgia knock it out. Auburn jumps out to a 10-0 lead, Coach. Right before half, it looked like Jackson Arnold was in the end zone. A fumble occurred. Georgia recovers and steals it for points. I know Hugh Freeze, I know the athletic director, were up in arms. It was a terrible call, but tell me what your thoughts were about that performance on Saturday night.
Well, you know, I've never seen a game completely change 100% after one play. I mean, Auburn had a week off, and they had a masterful job of preparing their running and passing game, mixing it up. They couldn't be stopped. They were up 10-0. They were about, and I think Georgia had nothing going. They had nothing. And Auburn was about to score to go up 17-0 with less than 2 minutes left. Quarterback sneak. I looked at every replay. One, I thought it was over. And two, there's no way that official could have seen the ball come out before he went across. But he made the one call that that was a fumble. And again, I don't know how he made that call, to be honest with you, because the guy should have had a touchdown if he picked up the fumble and ran with it. But the point was, at that moment, with a minute and 30 seconds left in the half, it was 100% Georgia. Auburn could not do a thing after that point. Georgia got their act together, drove down, got a field goal, then got 10-10. Then they moved ahead. Auburn could do nothing. I've never seen a stadium, the kids, the players, the fans become deflated over one play. It was almost like, oh no, here we go again. That's what happens when you lose. Something bad happens and everything gets deflated. But unbelievable game, terrible officiating. But Auburn's got to rise to the occasion. When you have those things happen, when you're a winning program, you find a way to overcoming it. And Georgia found a way to overcome their terrible start.
Just felt like Georgia was, you know, better prepared for the moment. Like, you know, like Kirby's been in this situation multiple times with Alabama. I know that he won the national championship, but he was in these tight games back and forth where if you watch Kirby Smart, you know, on top of winning two national championships, he makes halftime adjustments. You can go back to the start of his tenure in Georgia when he went toe-to-toe with Lincoln Riley in the Rose Bowl and trailed by double digits, how that team came back. He's had multiple times in big matchups where he makes the necessary adjustments to allow his team an opportunity to pull the game out. We don't see the same for Hugh Freeze. It's unfortunate, but when you see Auburn and you think about the optimism, they get that week one performance where Jackson Arnold on the ground lights up Baylor's defense, not a difficult place to play. They start 3-0, and now you blink and they don't have a conference win, and they've lost three straight games in the conference, close games to good competition, A&M, Georgia, and obviously Oklahoma, but they're not winning. And that really puts a lot of pressure now on this program.
And I think that's what I was trying to make, that their confidence is fragile. They're a very fragile football team. When you lose, and their defense has played well enough this year to have them undefeated. They've lost to number 5, number 6, and I think number 9 now, and they've lost by, one score, just 10 points this game, and they're fragile. They don't have confidence. It's not that they can't make adjustments. They don't believe they're going to win. And that's the saddest, most difficult thing as a football coach to overcome is when those kids deep down inside, they're waiting for something bad to happen. Instead of Georgia that has had success after success after success, they think they're going to find a way to win. And because of that, they do.
Yeah, and I'll just say this about their defense, to your point. One of the best rush defenses in the conference, all FBS, holding opposing offenses to only 86 rushing yards per game, 2.5 yards per carry, and that was a Georgia offense, entered that matchup rushing right in the area of about 190 yards per game. They held the Bulldogs to only 79 yards on the ground and a 2.5 yards per carry. That was a dominant effort. Hopefully it can continue on the defensive side for the Auburn Tigers, second half of the regular season. We'll take our look at Texas A&M. We talk about hottest team in the conference has to be the Aggies Everybody's looking at Alabama, but this team is undefeated. They've answered the bell yet again. This was a red-hot Florida team fresh off their home victory over Texas. They laid 7.5 against the Gators and dominate on both sides of the ball, Coach. 34-17. Marcel Reed and this team are stepping up. Mike Elko's done a fantastic job in year two.
He really has. He's got these kids playing. They do what they've got to do to win. If they've got to outscore somebody, they've shown they can do it. If they show they've got to win with defense, they've shown they can do it. Florida was within 7 points going into the fourth quarter. Florida was not out of this thing, but Texas A&M did everything they can do. And you know what's so special about this team? Their third down stats, their defense has the opposing teams have been successful 2 out of 33 times in the last three games. These are SEC teams. We're talking about Florida 1 for 10, Mississippi State 1 for 10, Auburn 0 for 13. They're 2 and 33. The opposing teams on third downs. You're going to win a lot of ball games if you're getting people off the field that consistently.
20%. Third down defense, wow. One of the best in the country. Unbelievable what Mike Elko has been able to do defensively in year number two. And I have to give him props because at the start of the season, they were giving up a ton of points to UTSA and some of the other teams out of conference. They've really adjusted schematically once conference play has started. And you look at their odds entering week number eight, Coach. They could go toe-to-toe with the likes of any team, including Alabama. I think if they were able to play today this weekend, this game would be a lot closer than people think just because of how good that defense has been. A key loss, though, and we have to monitor it, is Le'Veon Moss did go down in that win against Florida. Have to see the injury report this week and beyond to see about his availability. But when Coach and I return, we'll take a look ahead to week number eight, two of the biggest games in the conference coming up. How does that affect conference odds? How does that affect national championship odds? We'll talk about it right here on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week number eight, marquee top 25 games across the conference. We'll start with the 3:30 matchup in Athens. Georgia opens up as a 7.5-point home favorite over Ole Miss. This is a game last year that Jackson Dart and Ole Miss stepped up and dominated this game in Oxford. Now they're catching 7.5 points. Does the Lane train have any momentum, Coach, heading into Athens on Saturday afternoon?
Well, they've got confidence because they've won every game. They're undefeated, and they're playing so well. This is still Georgia playing at home, and although they lost to Alabama at home to end that long streak, it's hard to win there. And Lane Kiffin, historically, his offense has played better at home than they do on the road. I don't like the 7.5 points. I think that's about where it is right now. I still think Ole Miss will play it closer than that because they're one of those teams you got to outscore. They'll find a way to score. But I still like Georgia at home just because of how well they're playing, how good they are. Georgia's got to get an early start. They can't start late like that against Auburn that had no offense. Ole Miss has too much offensive explosiveness to get a slow start. Then they have to have a great start at Georgia and not fall behind this Ole Miss team that can score some points.
Well, you talk about Ole Miss. They came out flat last week, laying 31.5 to Washington State. They trailed in the first half. They held on for the 24-21 victory over the Cougars, but they did not cover as a 31.5 point home favorite. You talk about the last two times Ole Miss has went out to Athens. They have been abused by the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have won the last two in Georgia by an average margin of victory of 31 points per game. Coach picked up this victory a couple of years ago, 52-17. I just think if Ole Miss is going to win this game, they're going to need to start fast, number one, and they're going to need to shut down that rushing attack the way Auburn did. Now, I don't know if Ole Miss's front seven is as dominant potentially as Auburn, and I know maybe statistically it's close, but I don't know if Ole Miss, from a physicality perspective, is able to going to be able to shut down the rushing attack, and that's where I think this game is won or lost. Not only that, but this is a true road game now for Trinidad Chambliss. We've seen him perform at home, one of the toughest environments in the SEC.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Trinidad Chambliss in Athens at this football game. But I think it's different. You know, I was at the Ole Miss Georgia game last year, but Ole Miss was a better football team. Their front seven just destroyed Georgia. You know how good they were in their front seven last year at Ole Miss. Not quite the same football team. I think Georgia has the edge there. And so right now, obviously, Ole Miss needs to have a good start. But if Georgia will come out there and establish the running game and mix them with their passing game at home, it's going to be Georgia's game right now. The problem is I think Ole Miss can keep this thing within 3 or 4 points and not get beaten by over a touchdown. And I'm not ready to call it yet, but it's going to be a nice football game. But Georgia at home. Now, I think Kirby Smart's 1-2 against Ole Miss in his career. And so he's been beaten before. But everything's on the line for Georgia. I mean, Ole Miss can lose this game and still have a great season, have a chance to play for the conference championship. But with one loss, playing for a conference championship and winning the SEC, this one's a critical game for Georgia, and I think they'll respond to that situation.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Coach and I will break that game down a little bit later in the week. Third Saturday of October can only mean one thing: Alabama and Tennessee. You talk about the dominance under Nick Saban. They won this series from 2007, Coach, straight through 2021, but Tennessee has won two of the last three in the series, including last year in Knoxville. This line right now, 9.5 point home favorites in favor of Alabama. I'm inclined to take the points with Tennessee early on.
Yeah. My favorite's the over. I just think there's going to be a lot of points. Alabama's secondary has given up some big plays. Tennessee has the ability, and Florida, of scoring points. So, one, I like the over. But I, too, think the points are too much. I just never know. You never know who's going to hit that hot day. You know, Tennessee gets hot, they score a bunch of points. I have a feeling it's going to be much closer. It's going to be a scoring match. I feel better about the over right now than I do about Alabama winning the game, but I don't think they're going to carry that many points against Tennessee. I'll run with you. I'll go with you on that one now.
Yeah, we'll see. And Coach and I will be back later in the week breaking down all the action for week number 8 in the SEC. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.